G'day there, and welcome to Songcatcher on this beautiful autumn evening. But we do have a special Songcatcher guest on tonight, sometimes been known to throw his lot in with a bunch of old dogs, I believe. Would that be correct, Michael?
Yeah, I was an old dog for a while, a kind of provisional old dog, never a permanent member, but it was a loose arrangement that was very successful for several years.
And this was a loose collective called Old Dogs Can.
Yeah, they were... It's a nice story, actually, because I went into the Seven Stars Hotel at the behest of a friend of mine who I used to teach. He was a Chinese guy. I met him when he was learning English. I was his English teacher. I was hopeless at that. But what I did give him was some kind of... Oh, no, I didn't give him the social skills. But look, long story short, he said... You've got to go and play at the Seven Stars. I said, how's that? He said, I know the owner. They want someone, and you fit the bill. So I go in there, and we have the conversation with the owner, and sure enough, they do want music. But she said, I was kind of looking for a band. And I looked down the other end of the bar, and an old friend of mine was standing there who I'd heard just recently had formed a band. So right there on the spot, we said, well, how about you'd have me and them? And the marriage was made right there, and it lasted 3 years.
Okay. Instant residency.
It was.
And a part-time member of Old Dog Scan. This is Michael Coughlin, our Songcatcher guest this evening. Had quite a bit of involvement in music around and in Adelaide for quite some years, and elsewhere as well. Now, you've spent a year, I believe, working your way around Europe. Was it Europe or and
it
Israel?
It was Europe and Israel. UK, I guess that counts as Europe. Yeah, there was a time there where, like, I decided to take a punt, really, and see whether you could make a living as a street musician.
Uh-huh.
And the result was, yeah, I could. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money. It was really hand-to-mouth. I'd go out every day, and I'd usually have to sing twice to get enough money to pay for my food and rent for the day, but did that throughout the UK, Holland, Germany, Greece, Israel, and it was an amazing experience. I mean, I could talk for hours about what happens when you kind of put yourself out there as public property and stand there on the street, because everybody thinks, you know, they own you. You have a million automatic friends, very few of whom actually give you any money, but look, an amazing existence. And yeah, I did that. And the most rewarding part of it was a time where Israel was a different country, and even so, Israel always has this backdrop of war and strife, but Israelis couldn't believe that we would dare busk, and we were doing hugely well going up and down the country.
It's not so much a question of legality or illegality in terms of the busking, you just...
Safety.
Ah.
I mean, Israel has always been a place where anything can happen at any time.
Potentially, yep.
And look, I wouldn't do it now. In fact, I've stood on street corners where I used to sing and looked just 50 metres away where a cafe has been blown to bits. I mean, I wasn't there, but, you know, a couple of years later, just going back and imagining, well... So it was different, it was safe, and it was really rewarding, because as much as anything, this sounds really kind of big noting or grandiose, but we gave Israelis kind of a spark of hope. They kind of realised that they lived in a country where people could sing on the street. And
nobody really realised that to that point.
No. Huh? And so it's a very strong and, you know, cherished memory of doing it in a place where it was not the done thing, and quite proud of it. Had a ball.
Okay, and way back in the 70s, well known, I believe, as a regular at Ginger's Cafe down in Melbourne Street. Yes?
Well, Ginger's was an institution, and I think, you know that thing you get when you realise you've been doing something for a long time and it's almost embarrassing because you kind of didn't ever imagine you would do anything for a long time when you're kind of 25 or 30. But anyway, I think I clocked up 13 straight years at Ginger's, playing on a Friday or Saturday night, starting at 10, playing till 2 or 3 in the morning. Ginger's was a cellar, for those who aren't aware. Ginger's is now just it's a house, actually. If you go to that location in Melbourne Street these days, it's just a house. But it was a small coffee shop for a long, long time, and it kind of occupied that same niche that Scala does, was there to promote, support people who played original or acoustic music. So not the band stuff, not straight folk, that kind of in-between music that Ginger's was a wonderful venue. And for years and years and years, they had music every night of the week.
That's a pretty impressive thing to be happening in Adelaide, and I guess it's a bit of a shame that it's gone. There aren't too many cafes you can pull into that have music often, let alone every night of the week.
No, especially not the kind of music that it featured. I mean, it didn't matter what you played. You could play original, you could play covers, you could play offbeat, eccentric, you could play anything. So you weren't having to fit a mould, whereas these days the equivalent thing would be a restaurant or a hotel where you've got to kind of keep the punters happy, play what they want to hear, you know, Led Zeppelin, etc., etc. And I don't know of a venue. There are the folk clubs, but there's not that other kind of venue that really doesn't force you into a mould.
Okay. I think Scala's new home at Higher Ground might just about start to pick some of that up. If you haven't been along there, there's an awful lot of stuff that goes on there. Not every night of the week, though. It's mainly, I think, Thursdays through Sundays. Very interesting place to play, and certainly lots of different moulds or different genres, but we better cut to a track. Now,
sure.
We've got one that's got a little bit of international flavour, Across the Mekong. Would you like to introduce that for us, Michael?
I'd love to, and can I tell you the story associated with this song?
Can we stop you? Do we want
to? It'd be hard.
Would we ever want to?
Well, as I said before, I was an English teacher. I taught English to adult migrants, and anyone who's worked in that field knows that you just hear hundreds of amazing stories. So this story is just one of the many, but it struck me as particularly poignant, I suppose, because this song is about a Cambodian guy who came to Australia as a single dad. Not because he chose to be a single dad. They were in refugee camps in Cambodia. It took them years and years to get out. And he just managed to escape on his own with one child. And he arrived in Australia thinking that his wife was dead. And while he was still studying with me, he found out that his wife was alive. And so that it's about... They had to cross the Mekong, walk for days and days to finally do that thing where they come to Australia, and then long talks with him about, you know, this is the promised land, not. If you're a migrant who doesn't speak English very well and has no skills for getting a job, it's a tough gig.
Mm. Mm.
Da 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 da. This dream I had to find you has long since gone away, but I'm free.
Well, that sounded a bit like the many voices of Michael Coghlan there at the end.
A lot of help from friends. Well, yeah, some of those friends were me, but
a bit of multi-tracking friends, yes.
Yeah.
So songs like that, I guess when you're working with migrants and people new to the language, new to the country and stuff like that, and you see such trauma in terms of the story and yet such joy in the fact, oh, my wife is actually alive, my son's got a mother, and then the story of them coming... I guess it has to be something that you write about. Does it just hit you like that? This is a song I have to sing?
It's rarely like that with me. It's a much more measured process that happens over time. And I can't remember why that song came about, apart from the obvious kind of appeal of the story, which I went through before. But no, there wasn't ever a moment where I've got to write that. But it does kind of prompt the question, you know, why do you write? And look, the line's from somewhere else. I either heard it or read it. And someone said once, I haven't written many songs lately because there's not enough tea in my life. And I said, what's with the tea? It's a travel trauma and tragedy. And so if you don't get that in some dose, it's actually hard to find things to draw on. But if you are subject to those emotional highs and downs, highs and lows, and things like travelling and, you know, coming across really terrible stories, you are moved to write in a way that you don't have to look for stuff to write songs about, whereas if you're happy and content, I mean, as Oscar Wilde said, all great art stems from sadness. It's actually much harder to write from a point of happiness, I reckon.
Okay, it's a challenge, I guess, a more difficult challenge.
It is, and you can do it. I mean, there's lots of happy music. I mean, the Wiggles.
Mm-hmm. It's not something that I turn on most evenings, though.
No.
But I do like happy songs, and I do try to challenge myself to write happy songs. And like you say, it can be difficult because sometimes the passion of the moment is in something sad, and that's what sort of drives you. But you still have to turn around to consider your audience. You can't drive them to slash their wrists or something like that.
Well, I don't see that as my role, and I kind of, like you, well, not a challenge as much as just who I am. I like to leave people with the positive. So I will take a story that's fairly bleak and turn it round, or perhaps sing what are some fairly heavy lyrics with a bright melody, you know, typical sort of major chord stuff where there is a clear melody, even though the story is not so much fun. And I remember at one... I can't remember whether it was Gawler or Victor Harbour. You remember there were Gawler folk festivals that morphed into the Victor Harbour Folk Festival, and they had a songwriting event each year. And I went in that a few times, and I remember one day singing a song that was a fairly sad story, but, you know, I brightened it up at the end. And it was Terry Bradford, if you know Terry Bradford, who's a well-known musical figure around Adelaide. And he came up to me during the day when he saw me just around the folk festival, and he said, look, it's a hard world. Don't sweeten it. And so that was, he criticised the song for doing precisely that, you know, and I thought, well, God, you know, I was just, anyway, that was a different perspective, and I kind of didn't get anywhere that day because one of the judges thought I lost the plot at the end because I sweetened the sadness.
Well, I guess it's each to their own. Would you like to sweeten some more sadness? You've got a song for us to play, an artist influence song, and we're going to have that live in the studio, which I think is pretty cool.
Well, I hope so too. I chose this song because it's easy, but there's a point about it being easy because it's a song by a guy, he's an Adelaide guy, Steve Foster, who's still around playing music in Adelaide, plays very different music these days. But when I was about 18 or so, across the road at this endeared institution, the Adelaide Uni, every Friday we had concerts in Union Hall at lunchtime. And Steve Foster was a regular, and I'd been mucking around with guitar for a few years and really just mucking around and didn't think that it was going to lead to anything more than that. And Steve, if you're listening or you get to hear this at one point, I'm sure you won't mind because it was a long, long time ago, but what struck me then that he was a fantastic songwriter and they were only ever three chords and the fairly standard chords. And I took from Steve Foster, you can write great songs with a minimum of guitar knowledge. And Steve's moved on to far more complex music these days, but that's the point of the simplicity. He wrote and sang these really easy songs that were just beautiful in melody, beautiful in lyrics. And so I've chosen one that's stayed with me all these years called Back to the Country.
Well, it's a good lesson to learn. This is Michael Coghlan, our song catcher guest, with a Steve Foster song, his artist-influenced song of choice for the moment, Back to the Country.
It's working-class pay night again, and the hall of my street's filled with men. They sit in the bars with their hands round their jars, and their eyes are all empty and thin. It's Saturday night and the boys are all out in the street with their toys. The wheels are in motion, the air's filled with tin. Oh, to be back in the country again. To be back in the country again, to walk hand in hand through the grass. Oh, to be back in the country again, living how we lived in the past. I lived in your cities and I stood in your towns. I spent half my mind on the road. My body got bent from the people I found. Now I'm looking for a place to unload. So why don't we follow the road to the woods and leave all the hassle behind? We could build a home on a mountain somewhere and get ourselves out.
TV Magazine. TV Magazine. The best articles, the best reviews, the best competitions, the best gig guide, the best in what's happening in South Australia and the world. TV Magazine. Completely free every fortnight. Not bad at all. TV Magazine. Proud sponsor of Radio Adelaide.
Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. Delve into the inner workings of Australian musicians throughout the month of May with Music in the Blood.
I discovered there were people like Rolling Stones and Beatles and things, and wow, I better be a musician.
On Tuesday's breakfast show at 7.35, repeated on The Range at 5.10pm, or head to Radio Adelaide's website, click on the heart and listen to interviews online.
Life is music itself. There is no life without music.
Music in the Blood, getting to the heart of Australian music with Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM.
Latin Fiesta. Amistad, tu programa amigo, invites you to celebrate our 8th anniversary. Featuring the Julias and DJ Raza. Harmonia 5. 100% Latin music, hot Latin dance and traditional cuisine. On Saturday the 22nd of May from 6pm at the Latvian Hall, number 4 Clark Street, Wayville. For more information, contact Radio Adelaide on 8303 5000.
You're listening to Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. This is Songcatcher with Clayton, with Claire sadly home not so well, and our special guest Michael Coghlan, who's just played for us Back to the Country, a Steve Foster song that he's got as an artist influence song for us this evening. Very, very sweet, Michael, and you're right. It's very pretty. It doesn't need lots of chords and it works fine.
Well, as you said off air, you just have to have a good melody and a reasonable kind of storyline or lyric. And I'd be really interested in, Steve's actually played at Scala a couple of times in the last 5 years, and I've tried to catch him, but he's always surrounded by people. I'd like to ask him what he thinks about that stuff, because what he plays now is very, very different, and it's kind of much more jazz influenced. It's like he's developed as a musician, but I didn't. And, you know, part of that's kind of lack of effort, and part of it's kind of deliberate stubbornness too. I like sitting kind of on simplicity and melody, but yeah, he had a whole lot of songs like that at the time, and I just loved them.
Well, I have seen you play a smidge more than three chords, though, along the way.
Oh, yeah, I don't stick to the three chords all the time.
And you do get fancy enough to bung a capo on from time to time as well.
Well, that's just cheating as well. I mean, that's just raising the pitch so you can play the same chords higher up the neck.
I don't know about cheating.
But I did, I don't know, you get into these discussions about the types of music you like, the types of music you write, and sometimes people have a go at me and say, well, you know, what about some sort of more, you know, the somber stuff, the moody stuff, the minor chords, throw in some sevenths now and then. And I kind of, that same kind of point that we were talking about earlier, just preferring to stay on the bright side, the positive stuff. And someone once said to me, once after they looked at my record collection, as we used to have, there's tons of blues throughout my record collection. So I listened to it endlessly in the past and still sometimes. And they said, but you don't play anything like this. Because my answer was, well, I never get that down, you know, like, I love listening to it, but I couldn't play it. I'd be pretending. So, but I do have songs where, you know, there's a minor chord or two and there's drifting off that kind of mainstream melody using major chords. But it's kind of, you just set up this discussion about, you know, major, minor, bright, dark. And I'll always go for the bright side.
Okay. I'm quite keen on a bit of brightness and a little bit of darkness, and they don't have to all be separated into different songs. In terms of your musical background, now, you were brought up both in Adelaide and Port Lincoln, so were you originally from Port Lincoln?
No, originally from Adelaide. We moved to Port Lincoln when I was very young, spent a long time there and came back to Adelaide.
But okay. And where did music start for you? Did you have lessons or anything when you were younger?
My poor mother tried.
Good on her.
She did the thing I think was often done then, tried to get me to play piano. And
it doesn't sound like she succeeded very well.
She didn't succeed, and she said I was more interested in, it's not an entire write-off really, she said just balls and books. I was interested in balls and books back then. Mm-hmm. But I'd actually like to sort of, if you like, pay tribute to my mum. My mum was a singer, right, so that's where it all comes from. I've got three siblings, so there are four kids. We all sing. We all play music on a regular basis, if not professionally. It's integrated into our lives, and it clearly comes from our mother. And so whether it was Adelaide, Port Lincoln, or back in Adelaide, I mean, I often delight in telling this story because I have a very strong, enduring memory of childhood when my brother and I are outside playing football, cricket, whatever, and from the lounge room is coming "Climb Every Mountain" or the sounds of music or an Italian opera or mum playing the piano. There was always music wafting around the yard, and it clearly went in.
And quite often some live component to that music as well.
Well, it was, no, it was. I mean, that's the stuff I remember. Mum singing, mum playing stuff at the piano. And so there was also recorded music around. So that stuff goes in. And this is, well, you know, it's all part of the story, I suppose. When I was about 7, I became obsessed with listening to the top, as it was, 60 on 5pm.
Oh, that must have taken a long time to play.
It took almost the whole week. And what I would do when I got home from school is I would have a neatly ruled up piece of paper with 60 spaces on it, and I would listen as long as my parents would let me throughout the week. And because they always announced what position it was on the top 60 those days, you know.
So you were writing them down in all of those 60 spots.
Yeah, and I never got the 60. But on Friday afternoon, I'd go down to the newsagent, and there'd be copies of the one that 5DM would send over to the, you know, Port Lincoln newsagent. And so I'd fill in the gaps, and then start again for the following week.
And Barrack for your favourites and stuff like that.
Well, that's where I developed a love of music and a really kind of. Well, I don't know. It's just all those hours of listening to those songs, and some of them are still in my head that I can drag out that obviously sit there and were an influence of some kind.
Let's cut to a track, mate. Dear Life. Would you like to introduce it at all?
Sure, because maybe all my songs do have stories. I guess all songs have stories. This is about my son, who was probably, well, he was crawling age, so he's less than 1 year old. I muck around on the mandolin, and I was sitting on the floor of our bedroom one day playing the mandolin. In fact, whenever I did it, he would just go for it. So it was very difficult for me to play the mandolin, because as soon as I did, he'd just want it. So the song begins by, you know, "Here comes my baby now, I'm playing the mandolin." So it's not about baby as in girlfriend baby. It's a baby, and it's about life and children and, you know, the future and the world and kind of. But it starts with the initial kind of trigger was me playing the mandolin and my child scrabbling across the floor to get his hands on it.
Protect this dear life. If you can. children to stand up and take this dear life back. It's worth living. Dear life, I want to have it. So don't let them end it now. It can't be over now. This dear life back. It's worth living. Dear life, I want to have it. So I play the mandolin because it's a happy sound. Dear life back. It's worth living. Dear life, I want to have it. Dear life, it's life. It's worth living. It's dear life, I want to have it. Dear life.
That was Dear Life, a song by Michael Coghlan from a CD called Leave Me on the Beach, which was originally released as a cassette, I believe.
It was in the halcyon days of 1994, and a good friend actually converted it to CD, but I've never released it on CD. It's obviously high time that I do something else and release it on something kind of really cool, like a, I don't know, what do you, a Blu-ray? MP3?
You have to release it on smartphone, something that people can actually play in their cars or home, stereos and things. And Blu-ray's a bit beyond some of us as yet, mate. This is featuring Sean Mangan, Margie Prideaux, Kate Battersby, Sean Coghlan. Now that sounds like a brother, I guess.
It is.
Fred Capolino, Jeff Prideaux, Michael Coghlan, and Jeff Prideaux again. A few multi-instrumentalists in there.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and it was great to call on friends to do various things. And so old-time Scala members will be very familiar with names like Sean Mangan and Kate Battersby. Jeff Prideaux was the producer of that cassette stroke CD and also played bass. So he just thought a couple of times, this needs bass, and I was quite happy for him
to
add bass. But as my brother's names come up, when I think about musical influences, so I've already talked about my mum, but I'm talking about my younger brother, who at about the age of 12, he was still in primary school, decided he was going to play guitar. I'd been, this is the third time I've used this phrase tonight, so you can, mucking around with guitar. And my younger brother picked it up and decided to make it his.
Now, was he left-handed too?
No, no. And I used to count the hours that he was able to fit in on an average school day. And he and a friend used to manage Monday to Friday, as well as going to school and doing homework, 6 to 8 hours practice a day. So they took it to school and they did it before school. They did it at recess time. They did it at lunchtime. They did it on the bus. They did it everywhere. The upshot of this, I would still quite happily go on record and say, my brother Sean is the best guitarist I have ever been in the same room as. He is an astounding guitarist. So my brother was a real push way back then. And I'm just interesting that it took someone, you know, that close to me to realise, hey, you can make really good. He used to pick and things, you know, use other chords that kind of went up the neck. And I used to watch him and think, what?
He didn't need a capo to change the key.
No. No, he actually studied classical music as well. So, no, Sean was a huge influence. And I don't have anything of his to listen to, but lovely, lovely guitar player. If you ever see Sean Coghlan's name anywhere playing, go and listen.
So does he play locally or...?
Not much anymore. You know, like so many of us, life gets in the way. He tended to do, though he has a lot of original music, he made his living out of cover bands.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, did the pub set and... So at the moment, no.
Maybe it's time to drag him out of the closet for a set sometime.
Well, my other brother, and so there are three of us, do joke that one day we'll do a BC's set at Scala.
Well, that sounds cool to me. Yeah, let's do it. Now I've heard it. It's public. It's out there. It's on.
Push it, Clayton. It might happen.
It sounds like fun, mate. It sounds like a whole pile of fun. Now, you've gone from some early influences that sort of very much the Pops, but not just ordinary Pops, the people like Ian Anderson and Van Morrison and Gordon Lightfoot, some great songwriters, and more recently you've become a bit of a world music junkie. Am I allowed to use world music junkie?
Yeah, right, I think that's a fair description, and it was a really unexpected turn in one's musical life. I mean, I went along to the second, I think, Wham Adelaide. Didn't really understand what the first one was about. Didn't really understand what the whole thing was about. So go along to this three-day festival and listen to people playing music who come from all over the planet, singing in lots of different languages, most of which you haven't got a clue what they're singing about. But among some of the sounds you hear in those few days are some astounding bits of music that really kind of, you know, hit you in the guts. And quite frankly, I mean, there have been times, and I've been at Wombat, and I just think this is the power of music. You don't understand what they're singing about. You don't know what the name of the instrument is that they're playing, and yet it moves you to tears. So something very powerful is happening, and that's happened to me a number of times at Wombat, and I've kind of, you know, I'd say Wombat's my religion. It's the only thing I'd always do every year. But
it's not quite weekly. We can't quite get it back there every week.
But the consequence of this is that now when I listen to music, 80% of the time I'd listen to world music, and it is that thing of I don't know what they're singing about, what the instruments are, and it doesn't actually matter. I just love listening to it. So when you start to kind of unravel that in terms of influence, I don't know what the influence is that it's having on the music that I play, but, you know, I can just identify some songs that I love, and this one that I think we've got to listen to is from the Justin Valley Trio, and I won't tell you the name, maybe Clayton will.
Clayton will murder the name. Saratra Masina. And we'll leave the Justin Valley Trio to it.
From Madagascar.
Crumpler at 10 Gawler Place Adelaide offers you the full range of funky, artistic, functional and of course famous Crumpler bags. You can also view the whole collection at crumpler.com.au. Subscribe or resubscribe to Radio Adelaide this month, and you'll be in the draw to win more than $500 worth of cool bags drawn from this fascinating selection. Subscription to Radio Adelaide costs just $52 or 26 concession. So call us today on 8303 5000 and help keep your favourite station going.
Whether you like your jazz as hot as Lewis, or as cool as Miles, we've got it covered. Primetime Jazz, Tuesdays to Fridays, 7 till 9, here on Radio Adelaide.
Back on Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM, this is Songcatcher. It's Clayton doing it almost solo with Claire being sick, but we've got Michael Coughlin in the studio, and we were just listening to the Justin Valley Trio, which is a little slice of WOMAD. How many sleeps is it till the next WOMAD, Michael?
Must be about 300.
Isn't it terrible that you have to start counting down the day after? Never mind.
I was actually not impressed that they made it 4 days. It's too much of an epic. 3 days was doable. 4 is a killer.
I took 2 days recovery afterwards myself. Never mind. Now, as well as making music, Michael, you spend quite a bit of time, or at least a little bit of time, volunteering to make music things happen. You've been a volunteer on Coast FM, and I've just heard just recently that you actually did music, the broadcast training here at Radio Adelaide a few years back.
That's true too.
And never quite got brave enough to sit behind the desk. But we have ways and means of fixing that. Give us time. And a regular judge at Scala's annual song competition. So that's the Festival of Original Music, which is open for entries right this very minute. What happens when you see all these songs and you see people getting up and playing these songs and you think, well, okay, I've seen all of this stuff and I've thought about all this stuff. Does that have an influence on where you go with some of your songs?
Not directly, or at least not that I'm aware of. But I think we're all influenced by everything we ever hear and do. So the short answer is no, but what the effect it does have is that after you've done this a few times, it's fairly easy to recognise what makes a good song or why, on the other side of the coin, a song is lacking a little. So it just reinforces things like structure of the song, light and shade, you know, something that's lyrically challenging. So it reinforces, I suppose, yeah, when you come to writing your own stuff, that you don't chuck out stuff that is really just best left in the lounge room. Although that's a very subjective thing to say, because sometimes, as our president, Rob Childs, loved to say, there's no such thing as a bad song, there's just the wrong audience.
Well, it could be an interesting challenge to find the right audience for some songs, I suspect. Is there a difference between the conscious sitting down and actually thinking about a song when you see it presented? Because you often do live stuff where you're really on the spot, it's the hot seat, and you don't have to think about it. You've got to have your brain switched on and you've got to be conscious, but how do you mix the... And it must be the same in writing. There's an element of unconscious, and there's an element of conscious as well.
I've only ever written two songs deliberately, in the sense that, you know, I'm going to write a song tonight. So I think most of it is unconscious. I like to refer to something Ralph McTell once said, that he sees songs as like dreams. They kind of adopt you. They happen to you, they're in your subconscious, they percolate for a while, and when the moment's appropriate or you give it time, it comes out. And everybody who's ever written, painted, done any kind of artistic work will talk about the block, and part of that block is you're trying to do it. And I think some people are able to do that, it's their trade. Gordon Lightfoot has some wonderful perceptions on that. He saw it very much as a trade. He worked at songs, so he would sit down and work for a block of time on songs. I don't think Well, I can't do that. I like the Ralph McTell approach, just waiting for the moment.
Okay, I think the moment's come for another song, mate. Now, we've got something live in the studio. This is a song for Vin.
Yeah, and the Vin in this song is Vin Garbutt, who was in Adelaide very recently, but the network let me down and I didn't know. And there's a line in this song about hoping and looking forward to him coming back to Adelaide, and I missed it. Vin Garbutt is one of these amazing people who kind of exists below the, you know, the strata of superstar. He's actually exists below the level of star. I mean, most people wouldn't know, you know who's Vin Garbutt. I'll quite happily say Vin Garbutt's the best singer I've ever heard. And what's intriguing is that he has this quite deliberate nasal thing that a lot of British folk singers have. It's part of the tradition. When you sing, you know, you actually don't hide the nasal quality of the vocal. So the first time I heard him, I was blown away by two things. This guy sings through the nose and he's got the loudest voice I've ever heard. And he's a tiny little man, but he's just got this amazing sense of melody, not to mention the fact that he's a comic in his own right. But I'd heard some of his stuff, and when I was in Holland, he came by a folk club in the neighbourhood where I was living, and I thought, okay, I'll give this guy a go live, and I just fell in love with him on the spot and have tried to see him ever since, whenever he's near, because he has an astounding voice. So I wrote this song to kind of, I don't know, dedicate how I think of Vin Garbutt. It's not the best song I've ever written by a long shot, but I think it does actually convey the sort of feeling that you get from Vin Garbutt's music. And if I do kind of sing it a little bit nasally, it's because I'm deliberately trying to mimic a style.
This is Michael Coghlan, live in the studios of Radio Adelaide, a song for Vin.
Sing a song, tell a joke, close your eyes to the world, throw your head back and sing, and leave us all just wondering how it all comes out. I sat with my tears and couldn't believe your spirit for your fellow man. You spread the joy and laughing, it's all part of a master plan. Yours is a voice from heaven, sent to just that someone somewhere needs you. You play the fool, drink a toast, tell tales as a clown, shut your eyes while your melody soars. You preach a message of faith through miners, beggars and whores. You bridge the gap between now and the past and share it with all your friends to teach us all that singing our stories should never end. Is a voice from heaven, sent to remind us that someone somewhere needs you. Such power in your voice, with the beauty of tune interspersed with a wicked grin. You'll leave me waiting, hoping that you'll soon be back again. You play the fool, drink a toast, tell tales as a clown, shut your eyes while your melody soars. You preach a message of peace through miners, beggars and whores. Yours is a voice from heaven, sent to remind us that someone somewhere needs.
That's Michael Coghlan live in the studios of Radio Adelaide 101.5 FM. He's been our song catcher guest this evening. I believe he has a gig coming up in the not too distant future.
What night of the week is Scala now?
Thursday night.
So it's Thursday, May the 20th-ish.
The 20th-ish of May. Yes, that May has a few 20th-ish days. And if you go to www.scala.org.au and click on the venue button, you'll find out who is on, and sometime on the 20th-ish, you'll find Michael Coughlan's name there. Now, Scala This Week is on at Higher Ground Thursday night starting at 8.